as far as possible, we should speak about Krishna, because speaking about things other than Krishna takes our consciousness to subjects other than Krishna. The result of speaking Krishna Katha is that we remember Krishna. The result of remembering Krishna is auspicious. Avismriti Krishna Padaravindayo Shinoti Abhadrani Tashantanoti. That is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. By the process of non-forgetfulness of Krishna's lotus feet, then all Shinoti Abhadrani, all the inauspicious things are destroyed. Shang means that which is auspicious. So it brings in all auspiciousness. Then sadvasya shuddhim. It places one in a, one's whole existence becomes purified. And jnanam javijnanam, one attains knowledge and self-realized knowledge. So, for the sake of serving Krishna, what is that? Sarvasya shuddhim paramatma bhaktim, one attains bhakti to Krishna simply by remembering him. Of course, one may remember him in a wrong way. We know that Kamsa was always remembering Krishna, but in an envious manner. Shishupal was always remembering Krishna, but in a very envious manner. So that is not recommended. But one should remember Krishna with an attitude of bhakti. In the course of serving Krishna, we may discuss many other things than Krishna directly. Especially living in the modern world and preaching Krishna consciousness, just like this topic came of cell phones. So we may discuss cell phones. I might discuss with someone that I have to get some cell phone system which is the best, which has the best coverage and the best deals, and we may discuss all these things because we wish to use a cell phone to facilitate our service to Krishna. Similarly, we may discuss about computers and different operating systems and different softwares and this and that. So this may be all for the sake of serving Krishna. Travel arrangements, dietary arrangements. So much of our energy goes into the logistics and infrastructure of serving Krishna. How are you going to translate logistics and infrastructure? Just say vyavastha. Vyavastha karna, or something like that you can say. But we should be careful not to be carried away by or become fascinated by the material energy while using it in the service of Krishna. If one is, for instance, to use a computer in Krishna's service, which is a normal thing in the modern age because almost everything is done by computer these days. So if one is to serve Krishna, for instance, by writing books or keeping a database of devotees and donors, there's so many designing temples, so many different things can be maintaining a website. So just as unlimited things practically can be done via computers, so for Krishna also unlimited things can be done. So if one is a specialist, just like if one is a webmaster for a Krishna conscious website, then he may need to keep, well, he should keep abreast with the latest developments in web design and all these things. So some involvement with the material energy for the sake of serving Krishna is required. But at the same time, one should be very careful not to become fascinated by the material energy. For instance, for people who have a taste for such things, computer katha can be very interesting. Talking about hardware, software, like this, different operating systems, how much RAM you need and all this kind of thing. Latest programs. The uselessness of Vista and all this kind of thing one can discuss. But one can become fascinated by that because the material energy is made in such a way that it absorbs the attention of the conditioned soul. But that's just one example. In any field, one can become fascinated. Devotees may consult an astrologer, become interested in astrology, and that may be of some use. Some devotees may specialize in that, but otherwise, to become overly absorbed in anything but Krishna, even if ostensibly for the sake of serving Krishna, we can get carried away. And instead of seeing everything in terms of the knowledge that Lord Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita, we can start to see the world in other terms. For instance, we might start to see everything in terms of astrology. And we relate everything to the astrological influences instead of see things at that level. Instead of seeing deeper than that is the level of surrender to Krishna or not surrender to Krishna. Or we can see everything. Oh, the reason you're having so many problems is because the window is on the wrong side of your house. We see everything in terms of vastus. So you have to spend 30,000 rupees and close the window and put the window on the other side. So maybe it'll solve your problem, but you'll have a 30,000 rupee problem, another problem. So, or we see, or become overly fascinated by health concerns and see everything on this person's pitta, this person's vata, therefore he's like this. Or become overly concerned with mundane politics. Think, well, the reason we have to get behind this party or that party, and this will help. We may think that, well, this party will be better for the Krishna conscious movement, so we become involved in promoting this party or that party and following the news and what did this politician say and what is the opinion, what are the poll ratings. We become absorbed in psychological studies in this way, or just reading the newspaper, keeping up with the news, what's going on. I know what's going on. It was at least a few days ago I saw the main news was a cyclone in Burma. Many people killed. So, okay. I didn't bother to read it in depth, but these things are going on. But we can get the news better from Bhagavad Gita. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukha doshana darshana. This is the news. You take the whole newspaper and this is the news. You can put it in these four categories. So, it is necessary to speak Krishna Katha. For the sake of living in this world, or even for serving Krishna in this world, we may touch on so many subjects. For the sake of preaching Krishna consciousness in this world, we may have some familiarity with certain mundane subjects. And if one is a specialized preacher, just like if one is preaching in the scientific field, then you have to keep up with science. Or if one is preaching at all, one preaching means that people are not Krishna conscious, they're interested in other things. So we're able to speak about the things that they have interest in and they give value to, and turn that to Krishna consciousness, or show them the relationship. Last night I was speaking to a group of doctors, and speaking not at a very deep level, in some scientific term, not very deep level because I'm not a scientist, but that was intertwining various facts and observations about mundane science with topics of Bhagavad Gita. So that seems was appreciated by them, that to come to their level of interest and show the Krishna conscious perspective on that. So, yeah, again, this may be required, but our real subject is Krishna and Krishna consciousness. Therefore, it's important to, in our busy lives, as preachers of Krishna consciousness, in a busy world with a lot of things to do, we also live busy lives. We're not traditional sadhus who are, in Oriya, there's a word matua. You know this word, matua? Matua means matavasi. Means someone who's got nothing to do, someone who lives in a mat. So they've got nothing to do except maybe bang the gong a little bit in the morning and then cook and eat. And we visit various, in the course of our travels, we may stay at various ashrams, and we see mostly the sadhus, they get up usually a little after dawn, a little earlier than most people, and they yawn a bit and stretch a bit and bathe a bit and go to the temple, go to the mat and bang the bell a bit and sit down in the morning sun, read the newspaper, and they don't have anything to do actually. But by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, we're not that kind of sadhu. In a busy world, we are busy, but we have to keep our focus on Krishna Katha by speaking that, by reading the direct books of Krishna consciousness, among which those of Srila Prabhupada are undoubtedly the prime ones. And in this way, keep Krishna very clearly in the center of our consciousness. Instead of seeing everything in terms of psychology or politics or news or astrology or whatever, you can see everything in terms of the will of Krishna manifested in this world. Everything in terms of Bhagavad Gita politics. Now there are various levels of Krishna Katha also. Bhagavad Gita Katha, Lord Krishna speaks to Arjuna, and he teaches Arjuna about the temporality and miserable nature of this material world. Anityam asukam lokam. he refers to this world as temporary and miserable. And he speaks of the effects of the modes of material nature. So applying this knowledge to everything we see around us helps to keep us in Krishna consciousness. It helps us to see everything as Krishna sees it, or as it is, through the eye of Shastra. And this is also very much part of preaching, to point out to people the miserable nature of this material world and the root cause of all the misery, which is Vismriti Krishna Padaravindya. I was quoting that verse. Avismriti Krishna Padaravindya. Non-forgetfulness of Krishna is auspicious, but Vismriti, forgetting Krishna, that is inauspicious. That is the cause of all our problems. So this is the basic understanding of Krishna consciousness. Krishna bhuli sejiv anadi bahimuk atayiv maya tare deya samsara dukh. What is the root cause of this samsara dukh, the misery of this material world? It is our own volitional forgetfulness of Krishna, and our being from time immemorial unwilling to serve Krishna. Therefore, Krishna has made an arrangement by which we suffer in this material world. Not that he wants us to suffer, but being cut off from Krishna by our own fault, our own desire, that means we must be miserable, because Krishna is all bliss. So being cut off from Krishna means we deliberately come to the atmosphere of non-bliss, of suffering. So this katha should be there to understand the nature of this material world, the nature of our entanglement within it, and the necessary steps to get free from this entanglement. That means to become Krishna conscious. So this is called Sambandha Gyan, knowledge of our relationship with Krishna, and Abhidheya, the process of becoming disentangled from this material world. So these things should be discussed. And prem, love of Krishna, that is the prayojan, that is the ultimate goal of life. Now, as I was saying, there are various levels of Krishna katha. It is necessary to have a good, solid foundation of philosophical understanding of why we're in this material world and how to become free from it. So we often discuss these topics, because if we don't understand that, then we can't understand higher topics. But the ultimate goal of life, developing love of Krishna, that comes not simply from hearing about the miseries of this material world and our constitutional position as servants of Krishna, but that comes specifically from chanting the holy names of Krishna. The holy names of Krishna are none different from Krishna, and they award the sincere chanter love of Krishna. Therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has variously named the holy names of Krishna, or Krishna Kirtan, as Prema Nidam, or the ultimate cause of Prema, and Prema Vidhata, that by whom Prema, love of Krishna, is effected. The katha, the Krishna katha, that will awaken love for Krishna, that is discussion of not simply Krishna's energies and our entanglement within those energies, but discussion of Krishna. his qualities, his pastimes, when these are heard by eligible candidates, that means persons who are not on the path of cultivating enviousness or forgetfulness of Krishna. Then, by hearing about this, the desire to serve Krishna, to be with Krishna, to be fully absorbed in Krishna, awakens within the heart. So this katha is also needed. Often we see that certain speakers, they speak mostly on lila without giving any foundational background. So that may not be very effective. That will be taken as for persons who are not fixed in their determination to become free from the entanglement of this material world and surrender to Krishna. Hearing about lila will generally not be very effective because they won't understand its nature, not understanding what is the difference between spiritual nature and material nature. They may take it to be something mundane, and we see that's the fault of religious systems all over the world. They talk of God and they talk of heaven, but their idea is that God will make me happy, and their idea of happiness is something mundane. So even their idea of going to heaven is to go there to enjoy myself with God's blessings. So that kind of mentality also comes even by hearing about Krishna. If we don't properly understand the nature of his spiritual energy and the nature of his material energy, the nature of the material energy is aham mameti, I, me and mine. Everything is meant for my enjoyment. So this attitude is often brought into supposed bhakti also, which is why most people don't like to hear philosophical discussions like this, because they think, well, it's not very enjoyable, I'm not getting much fun out of this, and therefore they don't like to listen. Whereas if we tell a lot of stories and jokes, and then they think this is very nice katha, very good. They judge the nature of bhakti. Their diseased approach to bhakti is to think, well, if I enjoy it, then it must be more bhakti. So such persons are, we can say, neophyte devotees at best, or not fit to be disciples, whose the duty of disciples is to hear, understanding that I am in a diseased condition of not wanting to serve Krishna. Therefore, I have to hear regularly to understand my need to serve Krishna. Those who don't like to hear the philosophy of Krishna consciousness are not fit to hear the pastimes of Krishna Lila. With the many of the commentaries of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur being translated into English, they've become quite popular because he gives many insights into the 10th canto, Krishna Lila. So that's become quite popular among many devotees, but it seems that devotees are, many are not very much aware or very much interested that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also gives very deep philosophical insights into various sections of the Bhagavata. That even though he's giving so many insights into Krishna Lila, that's not all that he gave. He wasn't just a storyteller, but he gave a deep philosophical understanding also. That people tend to take what appeals to them and think themselves very advanced because they think that they're relishing Krishna Lila. But it's the acharyas, they take pleasure in discussing the qualities of Krishna and the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness as given in the whole Bhagavatam, all of which is non-different from Krishna. The whole Bhagavatam is Krishna. It's Krishna in the form of a book. Therefore, the whole Bhagavatam should be read. Srila Prabhupada warned against the mentality of haphazardly jumping from one part to another. One should read from the beginning and progress systematically through, just as Shukadeva Goswami described to Parikshit Maharaj, all the various topics. Parikshit, he didn't say, "Hey, listen, Shukadeva, I'm going to die soon, so just give me the nectar." But he found it all nectar. All the discussion of Krishna and his various energies. So certainly Krishna prema is awarded by hearing about the qualities and pastimes of Krishna. But that can be spoken and that can be heard. It's not very difficult to hear. It's maybe in many ways easier to hear than philosophical discussions. But the actual effect of that will accrue to one who is qualified by his service attitude, surrendered attitude to Krishna. So, Krishna Katha, this should go on, remembering that our aim of life is not computers or politics or any such thing. Our aim of life is to become absorbed in Krishna. Traditionally, in the ashrams and gurukuls, the sadhus led simplified lives. As I was saying, even today, they don't have much to do but read the newspaper and lounge around and this and that. So actually in the ashram, sadhus do have simplified lives. They don't have much interaction with the outside world. But that's so that they can cultivate Krishna consciousness. So they might not discuss, as we do in the modern age, our modern sadhus, they may have to be aware of various transport alternatives and banking matters and legal matters. Srila Prabhupada in one letter wrote about the duties of a sannyasi. And he said that the duties of a sannyasi are like myself, that I deal with legal matters and banking matters and organizational matters and speaking in the temple, preaching, all these things. So Srila Prabhupada was a practical Paramahamsa, living in this world for the sake of serving Krishna. He wasn't neglectful of this world. We have to live in this world to serve Krishna. So our lives are not like those of the sadhus of pristine times who would live in many ways very detached from the world. Just like yesterday we saw at Putige, the mud, which is in many ways going on, the Gurukul is going on there in many ways as it's gone on since before the times of the modern world. So it's a very pure atmosphere. But, and Srila Prabhupada wanted to reproduce that atmosphere. But we also have to, for getting this Krishna conscious movement up and started, it's still very much in its formative stages. There are many things to do. But at the same time, we have to very clearly keep Krishna in the center of our lives, as Srila Prabhupada did. He would be concerned with organizational matters. He would speak on the need to organize the world according to Varnashram principles. He was involved in the organization of his International Society for Krishna Consciousness. But he could go seamlessly from discussing legal and financial affairs to coming down and speaking on the Bhagavad, coming down to the temple. And even when speaking on legal and financial matters, he would go straight into some discussion of Krishna. For him, there was no difference between the two things, because he was only speaking about the matters of this world for the sake of serving Krishna. He saw Krishna everywhere and in everything. Yomam pashati sarvatra savang chamai pashati tas yahum napranasham sachame napranashati. So this consciousness is to be developed, keeping moving in this world and keeping Krishna very much in the center. Of course, if we can live very simply, without so many distractions of this world, that is ideal for becoming Krishna conscious. I mean, there's no one can live it, with very few exceptions, no one can live in this world without any consideration of it. That's only for persons who are living like avadhuts, with no touch with this material world. So everyone has to have some touch with it. And especially, like I said, for preaching Krishna consciousness. But very clearly our concentration should be on Krishna. So we came here to discuss about Krishna. So, how shall we do this? Last time I was in Mangalore, I gave the lecture. I started off the lecture by saying, where is Prem Bhakti? And it was a kind of trick question, because everyone was thinking, I was asking, where is Prem Bhakti Prabhu? But then I gave the whole lecture on where is Prem Bhakti? So like this, the names we have, they help to remind us of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said that the most important part of a Vaishnava name is the word Das. So whether one is Krishna Das or Rama Das or Radha Dasi, or Srila Prabhupada often gave more indirect names also, names like Aprameya. There's also a name of Vishnu from Vishnu Sahasranam. He gave many names from Vishnu Sahasranam. Actually, many of the names were chosen by his secretaries, and Prabhupada just gave them like that. But all these names are to remind us of Krishna. Aprameya, the word that comes up in Bhagavad Gita several times. It's the name of Krishna. He who is immeasurable. So like that, all the names help us to remember Krishna. Dham Sevak. Dham means the place of the Lord. One is to serve the Dham. Bhaktivinoda Thakur instructed Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati to serve Gaur Naam, Gaur Kaam and Gaur Dham. So, Gaur Naam means the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chanting the holy names, and that also fits in with Gaur Kaam, the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is Prithivite Ache Jato Nagaradikram Savatra Prachahai Bhimana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire is that his holy name be preached all over the world. And his holy dham, that is also to be served. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was an ideal dham sevak. In serving the Dham, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by developing Mayabhava Dham, is the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. They were sent there by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically to live there and serve the Dhamma by Lupta Tirtha Udha, by rediscovering the lost places of Krishna's pastimes, and by personally demonstrating and preaching Vraja Bhakti Vilas, the practice of Krishna consciousness according to the Vrindavan mood. So all these names have great significance. Here is Guru Das. Guru is name for Krishna. He's the actual Guru. Other Gurus, the Guru we generally take as a representative of Krishna, but Guru is actually name for Krishna. So one performs the function of Guru by performing the particular function that Krishna himself performs. That Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kaviye, Krishna enlightened Brahma, and Brahma, he then enlightened Narada, and like this. But the enlightenment, Krishna is Adi Guru. He's the original Guru, or sometimes that's ascribed to Balaram. Of course, Krishna and Balaram are non different. So everyone has to be Guru Das, Guru Krishna Das. Generally, we say like that, Guru Krishna. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. By the mercy of Guru and Krishna, one gets the seed of the creeper of devotion to Krishna. But in another sense, Guru and Krishna are non-different. Krishna himself says, Acharya Ma Vijaniyan. The Acharya is me. One should see him as non-different. How to see as non-different and different also? That is a very deep topic. Srila Jiva Goswami says that Shiv Tattva and Guru Tattva, these topics are very difficult to understand. They're paradoxical, how Shiva and Guru are non-different from Krishna and at the same time different. Then Garuda Govinda Das is here. Generally we think of Garuda with Vishnu. He's the carrier of Lord Vishnu. Krishna doesn't become so grand in Vrindavan as to ride on an eagle. He doesn't show so much grandness. Outside Vrindavan he does. When he went to the Pragjyotishpur, the capital of Banasura, then he rode on Garuda as an example. But within Rajamandal also, there is a temple of Garuda Govinda, the history being that sometimes Krishna's friends would tease him, that, hey, you think you're God? We don't believe it. Show us. So then Krishna, at that place near Kosi, he called Garuda and rode on Garuda. So there's a temple there of Garuda Govinda to celebrate that pastime. Gopala Acharya is the name of one of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates. We don't have much information about him apart from that, but no doubt he's a great person. Brahmanda Tarite Shakti Dhare Jane Jane. About the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it said that every one of them has the power to deliver the entire universe. So many of them are mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and many are not also, because he has so many associates. Sham Hari, the name is, I hope, clear to all. Yang Shamasundaram Achintya Guna Swarupa, that beautiful blackish boy whose form is of inconceivable transcendental qualities, who's also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. What's your name, sorry? Sankirtan Krishna. Well, Sankirtan is non-different from Krishna. So this name can remind us of that. Krishna himself performed Sankirtan as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And you are Srivas, is it, or Srivatsa? Srivatsa. Yeah, that name is also very significant. Everything about Krishna is Sri. We say Srimukh, Sri Charan. But specifically, Sri Vatsa means that Sri Lakshmi is residing on his chest. Although otherwise she's known as Chanchala. She doesn't stay anywhere. Today's rich man is tomorrow's poor man. She doesn't stay with anyone in this material world, but she stays on the chest of Lord Vishnu. What else is on the chest of Lord Vishnu? Kasturba. Well, yeah, that's true. It's around his neck, but more directly on his chest is Bhrigupad, Bhrigu. Bhrigu Muni has made some impression there. So all these names help us to remember Krishna. We also have Janavadasi. Das or Dasi. Because Prabhupada also gave names, something like Govinda Dasi. And we say, well, Govinda's a male name, but Govinda Dasi is a female name. Because Dasi makes, Govinda has male and female servants. So, as is well known, it's still a common name in India for girls. Not every one of them is called Pinky or Dimple or Beauty or something like that. So Janavi is still a fairly common name. In Tamil Nadu? No. When you say that name, people, they can understand it or not? Yeah, they know that in Tamil Nadu also. Yeah. Yeah, but when you said this name, people could understand that? No, not in Tamil Nadu. In North India. In North India, it's quite a common name, huh? For girls. Janavi or Janvi. They leave out one A. They always leave something out in modern Hindi. Just like instead of saying Revati, they'll say Revti. Isn't it? In many parts of North India. So Janava is a kind of, you could say, an upper branch or a slightly changed version of Janavi, and that refers to the wife of Lord Nityananda. So we can remember Janava Devi, Sri Janava Pada Padma. You were just singing that song. Sri Janava Pada Padma Kari Asmaran Dina Krishna Dasa Kohe Nama Sankirtan. So this Krishna Das, who compiled this whoever he was possibly a disciple of Janava Devi. Janavi also means the daughter of Janumuni. That's also a story that as Bhagirath was bringing Ganga Devi, he got her to the earth, but still had something. It was getting very close after coming. Finally got the Ganga to the earth after so many generations, got past Lord Shiva, brought the Ganga down, is almost getting down to Ganga Sagar, where he has to enter the ashram of Kapil Muni with the Ganga to deliver his forefathers. He's almost there, and then the Ganga washes Janumuni's ashram and then washes all over him and his ashram, and in retaliation he does what Agastya did long ago with the ocean. He's drunk it all up. So at Bhagirath's behest, his humble pleading, the Ganga came out with a new name, Janavi, the daughter of Jana, because she came from him. So she's Bhagirathi. Specifically in that area, the Mayapur area, she's known as Bhagirathi. She has so many names. There's Ganga Sahasranam. So like this, these names help us to remember Krishna. We can have Krishna Katha by discussing the various names. Vishnu Sahasranam is very nice for remembering the qualities of Krishna. On his various qualities. So, Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Do you have any more initiated devotees? Prem Bhakti, I gave a whole class on you the last time, so... Raghuvir. All right. That's your initiated name? Okay. What's the full name?
Raghuvir Das.
Raghuvir Das. Okay, good. Well, that's another common name in India. Name of Lord Rama, who is the... Of course, in the Raghu Vansha, there are many Raghuvirs, you could say, because they're all great kings. Raghu himself is Vir. But this specifically refers to... the common form of the name here in South India is Vira Raghava. In North India they'll say Raghuvirmo. And here in South India, Vira Raghava. It means Lord Ram, who among all the many great heroes in the Raghuvansha, Lord Ram is undoubtedly the most glorified. And Raghu and his whole Vansha, which was already glorious, has become unlimitedly more so by the appearance within it of Ramachandra Bhagavan. So this is better than discussing some useless politicians. Better discuss the really... If we haven't discussed politics, then we can discuss Mahabharata politics. Then Ramayana politics is also politics. It was a court intrigue with Kaikeyi and Mantara. We can discuss these things. That will purify us. Discussing about Sonia Gandhi and Manmohan Singh, that will not purify us. It may have some kind of interest, but it will not purify us. But if we discuss about how Ram was so tolerant and obedient to Kaikeyi, and in one sense, he appeared to be disobedient to Dasharath, who gave him the order, But then he tried to, then Dasharath wanted to revoke it, but Ram said, no, I've already given my word. This Ramachandra Bhagavan is famous as Ek Patni, Ek Ban, Ek Vacha. One wife, one arrow. Generally one arrow, you wouldn't have to spend 10 arrows or 20 arrows to kill anyone. One is enough. And one word. When he gives his word, that's it. There's no going back. It must be. He must follow that. So, on that basis, he, without showing any regret, he was just about to be crowned the king of Ayodhya. And then, now go to the front. All right. This is perfect detachment. One of the qualities of the Supreme Lord. Vairagya, just about to be crowned the king. And then that very same morning he was to be crowned the king. Now you go and leave all the opulence and live a very rugged life in the forest. Yes, immediately ready, no regret. My father has ordered, my mother has ordered, all right. Immediately. So better to discuss this rather than all these, you know, scheming politicians thinking how to put everything in their own pockets, and just exactly the opposite of Lord Ram. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Any question, comment? I hope there's not any protest about this class. I didn't say anything which might invite a protest. We got a protest last night, something like that, at the end of the class. Objection, as he called it. The man called it, yeah. You give so many evidence from Shastra to people and still they don't accept. Yes.
Is it because of their karma?
Is it because of ignorance? Well, if you tell them what's in Shastra and they don't accept it, then it can no longer be ascribed to ignorance. Of course, they may not in the first place be willing to accept Shastra, so that you have to ascertain. Before you start saying to people, well, in the Bhagavad Gita it says this, this, that, that, and they may say, well, yeah, but I don't care for the Bhagavad Gita, so, and it won't be much use to quote the Bhagavad Gita to them. So you may have to start on a different platform. As Srila Prabhupada did. He went to the Western world and he established among people who are willing to listen to him the importance of Shastra. And he established why we have to hear from an authority. That correspondence with Dr. Stahl is very instructive in this regard. That appears in the Science of Self-Realization. But for people who are not willing to listen to the authority of Shastra, people speak on the basis of logic and come to the same point. A preacher cannot simply be stereotyped. That will not be very effective. Most people in the modern age, they won't. If you say Shastra, they're there. It doesn't mean anything to them. They haven't been brought up in the culture of accepting Shastra. Yeah, anything else?
One should not accept a faithless person over the glories of the holy name.
That's true.
If we are seeing among our fellow students that if somebody is doing wrong, so whether we should go to him and tell him about that you are doing wrong, and you can only come to the mode of goodness by chanting the origins of the Lord, and you can even go beyond that. So whether we should at that time tell him about the glories of the Holy Name, or...
Who are you talking about? To who?
About our fellow students who are doing...
Fellow students? Well, if they're not on the platform of Krishna consciousness, to start glorifying to the holy name to them is is not going to be very effective. If they don't have basic faith in Krishna and Krishna consciousness, then to speak about the holy name, which is quite esoteric, why should they accept it? They're not likely to accept it. So again, you have to start at the level that they're willing to listen. They're ready to listen. It's just that we can, you know, we can go and tell everyone that, you know, Krishna is pining in separation from Radha. It's true, but it doesn't mean anything to them. They don't have any idea what you're talking about. You have to speak to people at a level they can understand. If they have no faith in the holy name of Krishna, then what's the use to tell them about the glories of the holy name? One who has some faith, then you can bolster that by speaking the glories of the holy name. But if they don't have any faith, then you have to speak in a manner that their faith in Krishna and Krishna consciousness will develop.
Buddha presenting the holy name, just presenting this as a process of meditation, or the process for self-realization.
You can tell people it's a process of meditation, self-realization.
Yeah? That is not kind of telling glories.
No, going into detail, that's different. To say that this is an effective process of meditation, is a process effective for the holy name. But you have to see if people are ready. You have to see if they're interested in self-realization. Again, you have to see everyone what level they're at.
I mean, it's like general situations of preaching when we organize some program.
Of course you can say like that, but to get very deeply into it, to say that, just like I was quoting in the class, Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying that the holy name is the root cause of that gives rise to Krishna prema, and by the holy name affects the arising of Krishna prema. People who have no idea of or interest in Krishna prema, to speak to them this, it's way above their heads. And even if you try to explain the concept of Krishna prema to them, they'll think it's something stupid, actually. To most people, it sounds like something stupid because of their misfortune. So you have to, again, you have to give it to them step by step. Even people who are theoretically religionists, many of them, there's very few people who are qualified to even begin to hear about Krishna prema. And there are more people who think they're qualified to hear about than are actually qualified. Yeah, okay then. Radically religionists. Many of them, there's very few people who are qualified to even begin to hear about Krishna prema. And there are more people who think they're qualified to hear about than are actually qualified. Yeah, okay then, we'll finish that. You have one question, all right, so ask it.
Yes, same question. So how do we understand? How do you become devotee? Actually, so I heard from some of the sannyasis, like devotees asked Prabhupada, how fortunate we are, we could read Bhagavatam, we could read Bhagavatam. Whether we are fortunate, or Prabhupada said, I have created your fortune.
Well, the actual incident, as I've heard it several times, although I've not heard it verified, although there's no harm in it, is that it's said that one who has become Yesham Tantagatang Papa, one whose sinful reactions from previous lives are nullified, that's one of the qualifications to take up Krishna's consciousness seriously. So when a devotee asked Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, we have come from sinful backgrounds, how can we take up Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada said, I have created your pious activities. That's a well-known anecdote. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. But on another occasion, when Srila Prabhupada was asked about this, he said that, no, actually you're all devotees in previous lives. It was somewhat different. The devotee was asking, well, it's stated in the perfection of yoga, for instance, that persons in previous life, persons who are taking up Krishna consciousness now were devotees in their previous lives. And then a devotee asked Prabhupada about this, that, well, you see, our lives are very sinful, so how could it be that we're devotees in previous lives? And Srila Prabhupada said, that your sinful activities in this life are superficial. And the proof of that is that when you came in contact with Krishna consciousness, you took it up immediately, which verifies the... I was in line with the Bhagavad Gita statement, Tatra tang buddhi sangyagam labante pauravadehigam, that they take up, fallen yogis take up the process of yoga that they left off in their previous life. So, so what's the question? So I gave two answers that Prabhupada is said to have given on different occasions. Both are correct. So we'll finish here as it's quite late. Hare Krishna.